The following is a presentation of Cruise Addicts.
Welcome aboard to Cruise Radio, your home port for everything cruising and more. Subscribe to our newsletter and weekly radio show at cruiseradio.net.
From the Cruise One Studios in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Matt Basford.
And I'm Doug Parker. Follow us on Twitter at Cruise Radio. Be our friend on Facebook, facebook.com/cruiseradio. Be sure to sign up for our newsletter at cruiseradio.net.
Hope you had a great Labor Day weekend. Sometimes for our holiday shows, we'll run some archived interviews or answer your listener email. You can always email comments at cruiseradio.net. This show's no different. We actually are going to dig up the old Mark Orwell interview from Travel and Leisure magazine. He'll share those travel scams to watch out for.
Are we dusting off the old reel?
We are. Old reel-to-reel tapes are still in great condition. But we recently, something a little more recent, we went aboard Royal Caribbean's Freedom of the Seas and talked to the cruise director. So that's kind of fresh.
The Freedom was too cool. It's like, what, the second largest ship in the world now, just behind the Oasis?
Yeah, up until the Oasis, it was the largest, but now the second. It was still an absolutely lovely, lovely ship. And, of course, we have to look forward to Oasis's sister ship, the Allure, coming out soon. So hopefully we'll get aboard that and get you that exciting show. But before we get to all of that, really want to share with you, we're very excited about this, Cruise Radio Premium content coming out September 14th. Cruise Radio Premium, you've asked for it, we are giving it to you. Sometimes our guests talk a little bit longer than the show times restraints will allow, so we have the unedited versions and we want to share them with you as you have requested.
Basically, you'll have access to the same stuff we use to put the show together.
We'll give you a 7-day free trial, and then if you want to commit to it, it's $1.99 a month, which by today's standards is dirt cheap. Check it out. Look forward in the next week or so. We think you'll really enjoy it. But first, we recently visited Royal Caribbean's Freedom of the Seas, went on board for the day, and had a really nice time talking to the cruise director. Enjoy. We are here with cruise director Graham Seymour. Welcome to Cruise Radio.
Hey, how you doing?
We actually have a little bit in common. We're both the youngest of three boys.
Oh, right, really?
Yes, it is true.
Not the same mother, though.
No?
Good. All right, that's good.
Are you the attention-seeking freak that I am?
Not now, but I was back then.
Yeah.
But then again, you had to be, because I was the one that always got the pants after everybody had worn them, and they had all the turn down so that when they would fit me, I was the one that got ragged on because they got told off. So, yeah, I want the attention now.
I've
earned it.
There was a quote that the class clown is the one seen streaking on the football field. The class comedian is the one who told him to do so.
Yeah, pretty much. That's true. I don't know about the streaking bit because I've lost a lot of weight now, right. I did that calendar thing. I think we've all done the calendar thing.
Sure. Who hasn't?
Exactly right. But yeah, I was the one that, didn't really want to concentrate. Couldn't wait to get out to the world and see what I had there. School was interesting, but I like to make fun.
Now, how did the middle son get the gig as farm engineer for Paul McCartney? And you had nothing to do with that.
Well, the thing is with that is because I grew up on a farm, and our farms are next door to each other in Sussex in the United Kingdom, in England there. And my brother obviously worked our farm, and then just a position came up on Paul's farm. He interviewed my brother Richard, and now 20 years later he's his farm manager and he runs his farm for him.
Still,
yeah, it's his main residence. Literally our farms are next door to each other in the UK.
Tell us a little bit about your background, though, as a cruise director.
Sure. 20 years at sea this year, 5 years with Royal Caribbean, an incredible company to work for. Freedom of the Seas, as you can see now, is one of those amazing ships where you've got the Royal Promenade all the way down the center of the ship, which is like a street.
Yeah.
But a great, great vibe for this particular company because there's, and I know everybody says this, where they say, well, there's something for everyone, but literally we cater for as many, many different age groups as we can.
Seems like the cruise lines are all trying to top each other, outdo each other, getting bigger, better, more features, crazier things on board. What is it that sets the Freedom of the Seas apart from the others?
Well, there's two things, to be honest with you. First of all, well, three things, if we put it in the fact we just mentioned the street. No other cruise line has that kind of technology or the build structure to have a street down the middle of the ship. Also, we've got an ice rink. No other cruise line has an ice rink, and this is a proper ice rink, not synthetic ice, you know, like the, what they call the glice, which is like a plastic. Right. This is actual ice that is created with ice shows. And then also to top that, you've got a flow rider, and that's right. The surf machine on the back of the ship. Again, Freedom class and Oasis class.
I was just going to say, Oasis followed suit with all those things.
Exactly, absolutely. But no other cruise line has that, and that's what stands us apart from the competition, definitely.
If you're traveling on the Freedom of the Seas, what kind of entertainment shows can you expect?
Well, we've got two production shows, which are full cast, singers, dancers, six singers, 22 dancers, you know, comparable to Broadway, West End, amazing lighting, stage sets that are obviously right up there with the big Broadway shows. You have top entertainers, headliner entertainers, whether it be comedians, jugglers, singers, impressionists, and then, of course, talk about the lounges, amazing lounges around with all bands, entertainment, solo artists. Pianists, sing-along bars. So pretty much there's a load of stuff going on. Load of stuff.
What kind of mayhem happens on the Royal Promenade at nighttime? Any like nightlife? Does it come to life?
Yeah, absolutely. With the Royal Promenade, we're very lucky in the fact that because it's such a big area, we can do things like parades. There's two parades. That's colourful parades that feature not only my department, but all of the actual divisions on board all dress up. One's called the Circus Parade, and the other one's called Welcome to the Freedom Parade. And of course, these big venues. Plus, we have a 70s night down there where we take you back to the 70s. And coming here very, very soon, actually, in the next couple of weeks is a new theme night called Rock Britannia, where it celebrates all of the musicians and the bands and the groups that came out of the UK over the decades, and we have a rock party all the way down here. Incredible.
What are your hours, average day for you? I know it's in some ways a 24-hour gig,
yep.
But certainly you have to sleep. And
sure.
And what craziness might happen after hours? Are you woken up in the middle of the night for things?
Well, the thing is, the day's never the same. I think that's why I've loved the job for as long as I have, because even though you have a structure of what you want to do, basically it's a framework, but pretty much anything can happen in that framework. My day can typically start at 8 o'clock in the morning, sometimes 7 o'clock in the morning, and that's just like behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. Because not only am I out there hosting shows, events, activities, obviously I've got a business to run as well with the entertainment department, where I'm in control of budgets. I have 161 staff that are in my actual area that answer to me. Obviously, I have managers that look after the divisions within my department. But yeah, it could run from sort of like 7, 8 o'clock in the morning and sometimes run till 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. Then you get a bit of downtime, but as I'm sure with you guys being in similar fields, you're wound up, you're hyped up, you're buzzed and whatever, and you just
hard
can't
to come
go
down.
Exactly. And you've got to have a couple of hours to wind down, but it's great. It's very rewarding.
What time are you going to bed on average?
1, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. So what is the most fun part about your job? What do you look forward to most every day?
Being different. Yeah. I mean, obviously, cruise lines have cruise directors and they've been it for many, many years. And obviously there's the same kind of routines that they do. But I pride myself on trying to be original. You know, it's not easy, obviously, because you know things work, so you like to use them. But at the end of the day, I love the fact when guests come up to me and go, you know, you're such a refresh and change. Some like it, some don't. Obviously, right. You can't please everybody. Right. But at the end of the day, I pride myself on trying getting away from the old 20-year stuff and go, hey, this is me.
And what's the most challenging part of your day?
I guess keeping everybody happy. You know, there's always going to be certain things. You know, some are not going to like me, not like my routines. Right. Some people are not going to like the shows. You know, we've all got the opinions, haven't we? So at the end of the day, we try and do the best we can. And that's why, like Royal Caribbean, have so much to offer. So there is at least as diverse as it can be.
And hopefully there's no criticism that's harsh enough to cause you to go back to your cabin and curl up in the fetal position, crying, sucking your thumb all night.
Find a happy place kind of thing.
Right. Hopefully you're not that sensitive to the criticism.
You know, to be honest with you, when you first started, you know, you don't want to upset anybody. Of course you're not. But, you know, when you do get some harsh comments, you think, what on earth would I have done to upset someone that much? But now all I really care about is if they don't like me, as long as they get my name right. That's all I care about. You know, as long as the name's right, then I know it's directed at me, good or bad. I've made an impression.
Right. Can you recall the last time you really offended a passenger with one of your
About 3 minutes sticks? Ago before this interview started.
Really?
Yeah, the one that's just writing a report about me over there. Just get made you look though, didn't it? No, I mean, you know, sometimes they'll say, oh, I didn't like that joke. That joke was a little bit off color and what have you, but, you know.
That Mr. Seymour's rather cheeky.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's an absolute disgrace. I'm writing a strongly worded letter.
What would you say to aspiring cruise directors or someone who is interested in that? Maybe want to, what's the side door, the best way to get in?
Be yourself.
Yeah.
A lot of people, I mean, you know, you have cruise directors that have stayed with companies for years, and justifiably so, because obviously they're very good at what they do. But you've got a new guy that comes on or a new girl that comes on and sees that, then automatically they think that's what you have to be. And all of a sudden they lose their identity. And a lot of people do that. And it's a shame, because there's some great people out there that have got off stage terrific personalities, but when they see the people that obviously are their direct superiors, oh, that's what you have to be a cruise director. Completely disagree. You're true to yourself, that's the original. You will not, again, please everybody, but at least you'll be true to yourself and not a clone of someone else.
What's a typical path for someone who wants to ultimately become a cruise director? I mean, just get hired.
The chain of command, yeah.
Get hired on the ship with any position you can.
Yeah, well, what you could do, I mean, obviously you have the departments that, which we call interdepartment transfers. If someone works, say, in the bar department, was a really outgoing personality, and that individual thought, you know, I fancy the cruise staff or the cruise division, then what they would do is they would put in a transfer. But typically you would start as cruise staff, which is obviously, as I said, within my division, doing activities, hosting certain things. And obviously the more experience or the more comments they get, the positive side of that perhaps, or they're out there more, and let's face it, you know who's got that kind of like that buzz or that kind of charisma, and that's how the chain of command would go. They'd go up to activities manager, and you know, depending on how well they did there, then up to cruise director.
Graham Seymour is the cruise director aboard Royal Caribbean's Freedom of the Seas.
I am? I am.
Thank you so much for being with us on
Pleasure.
Cruise Radio.
Pleasure.
If you missed any part of the show or want to hear more, go to cruiseradio.net and click on Radio Channel, or go to iTunes and search Cruise Radio. Follow us on Twitter at Cruise Radio.
Follow me. Have you been dreaming lately about a romantic tropical cruise to the Caribbean?
Cruise One. Or how about a breathtaking scenic cruise to Alaska?
Cruise One.
Or how about the Mexican Riviera?
Or Cancun.
Cozumel.
Or New England.
Or Canada.
Or Italy.
Or Greece.
Or the Far East. Or how about a cruise around the whole world?
Cruise One. Got a dream vacation for you.
Cruise One.
Let us send you on your way.
Cruise One.
Number one in cruising nationwide.
Cruise One has more than 550 cruise specialists nationwide ready to help you plan your dream cruise. And speaking with a local Cruise One expert is as easy as calling toll-free 1-800-CRUISE and the number 1. That's 1-800-CRUISE-1, or find us online at cruiseone.com.
Number 1 in cruising nationwide. Cruise One. Yeah. Cruise One.
It doesn't matter where you are, you can get scammed anywhere. And Mark Orwal, international editor of Travel and Leisure magazine, has some of the world's worst travel scams.
Welcome to Cruise Radio, Mark.
Hey, so glad to be with you today, Matt.
Tell us exactly what your title is. I know you got a lot of big, important duties.
Even more important than my title is the magazine. I work for Travel and Leisure magazine, the world's leading travel magazine, we like to say. I am the international editor. I write a column for the magazine. It's called Smart Traveler. I've been with the magazine now for 23 years. I love my job.
Mark, what are some of the scams we need to look for when traveling?
Some of them are so brazen, so simple in their evil, really. But they come up with new variations. One of the most obnoxious ones, and you know, maybe your listeners have heard of this one before, I call it the newspaper attack. It's been prominent in Rome primarily.
Yeah.
Basically what it is you're walking down a street in Rome, and all of a sudden you are surrounded by a group of maybe 8 or 10, usually gypsy children. They're holding pieces of cardboard. They're holding newspapers, and they sort of put them around your face, around your waist, just to distract you. And while they're doing this, and they're cute little kids, they're smiling, they're laughing. While they're doing this, they're dipping their hands into your pocket, into your purse, into your coat, grabbing the credit cards, passports, cash, anything they can get. It's that brazen. It's unbelievable. And if you're unaware of it, you could fall victim to this so easily.
And the common theme would be, you know, you keep your purse strapped around your shoulder and close to your body and zipped up and all those common sense things.
Oh, you know, I just got back from a trip to Russia. Actually, I was in Dubai and Germany and Russia. I took a train trip from Moscow to St. Petersburg, and I said to myself, I'm not messing around in this. I went out and I got something I haven't had in a long time, is a money belt, the kind that you wear around your neck, tucks underneath your shirt. And that's where I kept my passport, my credit cards, my cash. And I felt so secure. I'm really glad I did it. I didn't have any problems, fortunately. But if I had, nobody would have been able to get to any of that stuff. You want to keep all of your valuables close to you. Know where they are at all times.
It seems easier for men. Women have to have their purse. But I got to tell you, the older I get, I'm collecting more stuff with the iPhone, the money clip, the notepad and paper, whatever. Blah. I need a purse. I need a man purse. I need a merce.
It's probably not a bad idea.
Actually, I own what I call a merce. It is a shoulder strap. It's like a messenger bag, only it's smaller and goes around your shoulder thing. But I highly recommend it, and it still retains your masculinity.
And I'm sure you look smashing in it.
Oh, yeah, very hip, I'm sure. All right, let's move on to some of these here. I'm seeing the hot dog trick.
Well, this is one of the oldest tricks. It's a variation of one that has been going on for centuries, really. In this case, imagine that you're at an airport and you've got your luggage with you, got your carry-on, you got your purse, or if you're a woman, you got your purse. But anyway, you have all your belongings with you. You're standing there looking at your watch, waiting to go off to your gate. All of a sudden, somebody walks past you and squirt, oh my gosh, there's mustard all over your shirt, all over your blouse or your coat. The person is very apologetic. They're wiping it off. They're saying, so sorry, so sorry. They're pulling out napkins. It turns out they're just wiping it in worse and worse. You're sort of like, that's okay, man. Just stand back a little bit. Don't worry. It's okay. I can handle this. While all of this is going on, unbeknownst to you, this person's accomplice is actually walking off with your carry-on bags, because in fact, that was not a hot dog. That was a tube of mustard hidden in a hot dog bun. They saw you as a potential victim, walked by and squirted it on you on purpose to cause this diversion to allow the other bad guy to walk off with
your goods. It's like a plastic hot dog filled with mustard.
Exactly.
Look
what
at disguised. It's nothing but traditional magic tricks, the art of distraction.
You know what? The art of distraction, you've nailed it. You've nailed it so well. In fact, I want to mention another one, because the distraction angle, Matt, that you just mentioned is so important for travelers to be aware of. There's another guy I know, Rick Steves, a great guy. He hosts the TV show PBS Travels Through Europe, one of the great travel experts. He told me about this one. He calls it the tumbling woman. He's noticed this in London, but it could happen anywhere. Let's say that you're at the bottom of these huge long escalators in the London Underground, like six stories, you know, down below ground, very, very steep elevators. You get down to the bottom, you're on the platform, all of a sudden it looks like there's a woman who is falling down the escalator. And, oh my gosh, there's a woman falling. You're looking, you're watching, oh no, this is so awful. Well, you know what? It's crowded. Your attention is completely diverted for your belongings. That is the perfect time for your pocket to be picked. And it happens every day. It may not be in London. It could be in New York, for that matter. It could be in Berlin. It could be at an airport. But the thing is, as you pointed out rightly, Matt, your attention was distracted, and a bad guy got into your pocket while you weren't paying attention.
For more, you can go to travelandleisure.com. He is Mark Orwell, the international editor, and you can find his article, Smart Traveler. Always excellent information. Mark, it's a real pleasure talking to you.
Matt, it has been my pleasure to be with you and all your listeners today. Thanks a lot.
Have a question for the experts? Or would you like to talk about your cruise or vacation experience, good or bad? Email comments@cruiseradio.net.
That's it for this time. Join us next week when Stuart Sheeran, the cruise guy, will be back with us for more cruise industry commentary. And Doug will not be here.
Nope. I will be in Nassau, Bahamas, aboard Royal Caribbean's Monarch of the Seas. You were there.
Right. Well, you will actually be with us on the show. You will be reporting from the ship.
Broadcasting live.
Love it.
Yes.
Now, we invite you to sign up for our newsletter at cruiseradio.net. And also, as we mentioned earlier, watch for the Cruise Radio Premium content.
And if you have any comments or questions about Cruise Radio, be sure to email us, comments@cruiseradio.net.
From the Cruise One Studios in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Matt Bassford.
And I'm Doug Parker.
And this is Cruise Radio. The proceeding was a presentation of Cruise Addicts.